things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy.
And we have fetishes.
You have kinks beyond. I like
these. That's not a fetish, it's an obsession. It's a subtle difference.
I want to stick my cock in Rarity's marshmallowy ass.
We're recording, you know. Welcome to Knotcast, episode 190, Wheel of Ponies. I mean, fetishes. Four.
Pony, 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 pony.
Swag?
No, no. It's this one, some anime clip. It's a dude in a horse mask chasing after a little girl. Pony, pony, pony. That's all his dialogue is.
Oh, God. Okay.
Anyways, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
Yay, we're all here, and we survived our respective trips and stuff.
I didn't go anywhere.
Well, I did, and I'm the most important. No.
Well, we had, let's see, trips, we had surgery, we had a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, just let us go.
Yeah, it scattered us far afield.
Taryn and I are in the process of starting to pack and go through crap to throw away.
Okay.
No.
I thought you said starting a pack. It's like, wait a minute. Well appropriate.
I'm going to be the alpha.
Well
like,
appropriate.
Oh, so you're becoming lifestylers.
It's like, wow, you're going back to the wear community?
I'm going to start my own pack of online wolves.
Are you
going to
start a super pack, though? This is my furry pack super pack. We promote furry causes.
Like murring and yiffing.
Furry cocks.
And condoms available at every corner store.
They
and
are.
We promote surgical options for people with severe species dysmorphia and, you know, being able to add a sheath to a human and graft dragon wings onto your back. But we don't have anything that big. We have to steal, like, pterodactyl wings from the museum.
So are you being suspicious?
Oh, it's very suspicious of you.
It's like cissextus, suspicious.
Yeah.
Suspiciousist.
So you are starting Tupac, not make a pack.
Yes.
Oh, he's starting Tupac? Well, don't get shot, dude.
I'll be Tupac, Tyrone will be Shakur.
And I'll be Notorious B.I.G., I guess.
Together we're team... I don't know.
Team shot in gangland bullshit.
Yeah. West side or something. I don't know.
Technically, you live on the north side.
I don't know much about the hip-hop.
I don't know much about the hip-hops and the R&Bs. So anyways, so...
I think that's an inoculation I got as a child. It's time for you to get your R&Bs so you won't get rubella and bubonic plague.
Those are important. You gotta have those vaccinations.
These are my daughters, rubella and bubonic.
So what did you guys do this last weekend and stuff?
Well, I healed. That was very nice.
Healing is important.
Yes. I did something last weekend. I don't know. I slept like 5 times since then. I went and saw Abraham Lincoln.
Vampire Hunter.
At the theater.
Was it a dollar theater at least?
Yes.
Okay, so you're okay.
Siam thought it was wonderful. I'm not quite sure what Sarah thought. I thought it was horrendous. I mean, there's bad...
But was it horrendous in a fun-to-watch way?
Only slightly. I mean, it just struck me as a...
So it was bad and bad.
Yeah, I like bad movies, but this is like a bad movie that thought it was good or something. I don't know. It was almost, but not quite as bad as Shoot 'Em Up, which is bad in its own good way.
Oh, I love Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's the greatest movie ever.
He delivered that baby with a gun.
Yeah, exactly. I deliver a baby with a gun.
Kills dudes with carrots.
I know what I've been doing for like the past week.
Drawing.
Drawing. Oh my God. Drawing. All the drawing.
Her
I decided.
Name is Shiva, and she likes to make drawings.
So I decided I wanted
Saturday
to...
Night Live thing.
Oh, okay.
I decided I wanted to make a little extra cash for MFM, and I put, like, hey, guys, I'll do you a badge. And, like, for once, people actually took me up on it. So I've been actually drawing, like, steadily, and this is unusual for me because I'm kind of out of practice. But it's nice because I'm watching myself improve with each badge as I remember how to do this thing.
Get back into it.
How do I draw a humanoid cat?
Yeah, well,
How do I draw cat people? How do I draw badger people?
I tweeted your
thing saw that. I was really like, wow, that's nice of Fuzz.
Yay! Figured, spread the word, you know.
And it's been interesting because I haven't sunk this much time into drawing in a long time, and I'm not especially fast because I've forgotten, and I'm remembering as I go. And so I'm speeding up gradually, but...
It'll take you a while to, like, get up to speed again.
But I'm not as fast as some other people. So I've been doing a lot of drawing, and that's work, home, draw. Work, home, draw. Lots and lots of draw.
Are you planning to keep this up more, start doing it more consistently again?
I might. I mean, if I can get people... to actually maybe request stuff. I mean, I've just been kind of at a lull for ideas recently, so.
Mm-hmm. So you know what that means, guys? That y'all need to contact Shiva and throw bunches of money at her so she can draw you dog people.
See, it all started out when Sarah commented, hey, he didn't have a badge anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, I can draw. I'll draw you a badge. So I drew him a badge, and it's like, oh, well, that came out really good. Maybe I can do more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just kind of steamrolled from there.
You should do a tour. It's a tour. Like, it has, like, a double torso.
No, God, I've seen those. Those are scary.
Oh, God, I just made that up. Someone already
it's like
made...
It looks like a centipede.
Someone's already made this in fat to it. Damn it.
If you can think of it, it's too late. We're too boring. There's somebody out there who's already fat to it.
I guess so. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I already masturbated.
Is there one that, like, goes in a complete circle and has its head in its own ass?
I don't know, but probably. I mean, somebody's seen, like, human centipede.
His name's Ouroboros.
I'm just thinking, like, a swastika tar.
Oh!
Swastika.
No. That's horrible.
Super awkward and horrible.
All the L shapes. Just L. Mm. So.
But, yeah, so that's good. It's good that you're getting back to art.
It's been a while.
It's like a Rat King, instead of being tied together by the tail, they're tied together by the torso.
I would draw, like, once or... I got down to where I was drawing about once. I'd draw a couple times a year, didn't post any of it. It just didn't seem worth it. Then I occasionally do something really good, put it up, and...
God, I haven't drawn anything since, like, 2007 or so.
My last really big piece, I mean, the one I sunk hundreds of hours, well, not hundreds, but probably about 100 hours in, was that print I did for Furry Fiesta a couple of years ago. And after that, I just haven't done a lot.
Hmm.
I used to have a bunch of friends locally that we would go sit
like
and
an
draw.
Like an art night, art jam.
Well, usually it was a couple nights a week, and just go and sit and draw. And I just haven't made any arty friends locally to
sit and
doodle
with. That would be kind of an interesting meetup to organize, an art jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just haven't.
It's like, you don't know how to draw? Great, neither do we. Let's go get some coffee and draw some ponies, or draw some furries, or draw some starships. Draw
something. It doesn't matter what. I thought about putting something together for the, you know, local area. It's just...
Draw a pencil, drawing a picture. Of a hand drawing a pencil. Pencilception. Just keep going spiraling.
So, yeah.
Escher
we'll see.
Did it. It's like Simpsons did it, but not. So my last weekend was kind of interesting. I was.
What did you do, Saffron?
I was up in Seattle.
Seattle.
Is it as pretty as they say?
It's gorgeous and really nice and temperate.
It's
and
amazing. It rains marijuana there. It's awesome.
God, I wish. the hotel I was at was like right next to the airport. So I went to the Pony Convention Everfree Northwest. First year con. And I've plenty of the first year troubles.
Yes.
I did notice several big name furry artists who were also in attendance. Not going to name names.
Why?
Because certain people give pony fags shit in the furry community.
Okay.
And these are like very popular artists who aren't.
Yeah, but they were tweeting back and forth to each other.
I didn't think it was a secret.
Oh,
like,
they were?
Like, Sophie Cabra is not a secret.
Well, Sophie was.
Because she's posted a crap load of pony pictures.
Yeah, and she's made pony fursuits that have sold for a couple thousand dollars each time and does it consistently.
Yeah.
She makes lots of money, but I mean, like, other artists.
But she retweeted a tweet from Blotch that was a picture.
Okay, so. I need to look it up then, because...
Well, it's a picture of a it's a street sign that says Equestrian Drive Northwest, and one of them has stuck a sticker of Twilight Sparkle on it.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, yes, the artists behind Blotch were both there, and a couple other people too. So I was like, yeah, that's cool. The con itself went pretty well for a first year, mm-hmm. you know. As you can expect with any first-year con, their registration system exploded because they thought that they were going to code it themselves. Yeah. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that, kids.
Ooh, that's such a slick-looking website, too. I mean,
the registration system's not the same as coding a slick-looking website, though.
No, I'm saying, you know, like if they had their tech down in one area, I was kind of hoping that it would hang together on the back end as well.
Well, if they were smart, they would have just licensed out Rainforest's registration system.
Right.
But
it's not like they couldn't get local tech support, you know?
Yeah, considering that they're in the hotel that Rainforest was in its first year
mm-hmm.
and its second year because they were in two hotels.
Yeah.
God. And so people are like, oh, it's just a walk across the parking lot. No, it's not. It was like a block walk across the parking lot and then two blocks up a hill each time. It's like, oh, my God. I am so fat and slow, and this hill is terrible.
I don't know if that's one of the same hotels that RF was at back in 2010.
It was a Marriott. It was really nice, the space that they had. They didn't have the full space, only part mm-hmm. of it. But, like, the atrium was really nice and stuff like that.
That sounds like the one that it was at 2010. And, yeah, this gorgeous atrium on the inside. Mm-hmm. It looked like a rainforest.
Yeah.
That one?
But they were split across two hotels, which was really weird.
Yeah.
Because, like, and the way they split it off was...
Well, I know they had an overflow hotel at the Holiday Inn, but did they actually have programming over there as well?
Yeah, they had programming at the Holiday Inn. That was their first hotel. And then they got the Marriott, and that was their second hotel.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was really weird, and I didn't really like it, that all the main programming was in the upstairs, at the top level, where they had that weird circular ballroom. At the top, so all the main programming was there. Like, there was an art room that you could just go and doodle at, which was downstairs. And then the dances were held downstairs, as well as some minor panels.
So but lots of elevators is what you're saying.
Lots of
That's
elevators.
That's kind of odd to split it on opposite sides of the hotel. Yeah.
The registration, artist, dealer's den, gaming, and the quote-unquote overflow panels, got shoved up at the Marriott. So either it was real feast or famine in terms of, like, sales.
Depending on which way the tide was going in or out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
And so, like, all the big panels, lots of, you know, there'd be lots of slowdown at the Marriott. But even then, it was one of those things you really had to commit to going to, because, you know, it's a couple blocks walk,
yeah,
up a pretty gnarly hill.
Are they gonna reuse that hotel next year or that?
Side? I don't know. Yeah. I think they're moving again.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like they outgrew their first year hotel in the first year, and
they had like 1,500 people from the get go. But it's one of those things though of longevity within the whole pony thing. It's like, how long will it last before it decides to tear itself apart?
It kind of feels like it's burning itself at both ends.
It pretty much is.
What,
and
ponies?
The pony fandom that has a lot of drama, and the fact that it has all these cons pop up in like the first 2 years of the fandom's existence.
Not even that. It's like there's some cons that are popping up, and there's like one happening the exact same day as like Candlelight Gardens.
Really?
they knew they intentionally put themselves against that con. So it's like the pony community is so immature in a way that mm-hmm. they can't understand that there has to be a convention ecosystem where each con has a niche and doesn't go against each other intentionally.
Right.
Because both will end up losing.
Yeah.
And so like, is this other one regionally close to Canterlot Gardens?
I think this other one's in, like, I'm not sure where it's at, actually.
Because, I mean, if it's a tiny con on the opposite side of the country, that's not too bad. Oh, yeah. I mean,
well, it's like
FAU and RMFC were close or the same one year.
But, like, there are times when there's cons, like, all right, there's a con in Washington and a con in Florida that are happening at the same time.
No, it was this last one. It was Indy Fur Con and Rocky Mountain were at the same time.
Yeah, but that's in Indiana and this. Yeah. These two are, like, apparently regionally close and whatnot. It's just...
So
yeah.
More of a competition?
And you would think there would be enough people.
The calendar is not so packed yet in the pony convention calendar that you have to have cons on the same weekend.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
the first convention, like, calendar is pretty jammed at this point.
Weird animosity. It's really strange.
Huh.
Because, everybody's competing to get show people and whatnot, and that's probably why there's so much tension between the cons, because everybody's competing to get whichever voice actor they want. And it's disheartening in a way, because it doesn't need to be this way. It doesn't need to, you know, be so adversarial. You know, I'm sure that in the beginning, most cons would be like, all right, I'm going to have a better con than those guys over there. You know, con spawned from drama. We've seen how that's gone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
With, like, Oakley Con and...
Other cons. We're not going to talk about that.
I was going to say I wasn't going to name names, but...
Let's not.
But, you know, things spawned of drama don't last or don't do as well, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like some of these are just popping up out of the woodwork...
Yeah,
as a, you know,
as a fuck you to
fuck you, I can do better.
Come.
You know,
that's not a good way to go,
and it's not for many reasons, and for the, you know, health of the community. I mean, I'm not going to say that there's not tensions between cons and placement of new cons within the, you know, FurCon ecosystem, but it's not nearly as contentious.
Mm.
You know, okay, it's like that one up in Idaho popped up. It's like, oh, cool, thumbs up. Here, you're at this weekend, and there's not a con around you, and if people are in Idaho, they can go to it, and, you know, it's a local regional thing.
Yeah.
Nobody gives two-thirds of a fuck. But I think it is because, you know, furry is meta-fandom, and...
You're not competing for a set collection of guests and show staff.
Yeah. And pony is definitely a single-topic fandom, or single-focused fandom.
I mean, I could kind of see it maybe rolling into, like, a larger animation fandom at some point. Or, you know, a voice chasers kind of fandom or
voice
something.
Voice chasers?
And
it's a term that I first discovered back in the 90s for people that are really fans of voiceover artists. Because I was really into, like, following the voice actors that did, like, a lot of Disney Afternoon stuff. You know, Jim Cummings, Peter Cullen, Kath Soshi, people like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I saw the term voice chasers back then, and apparently the site still exists, and they have a Twitter account now, and they'll do some retweeting when, like, Tara was on Kevin Smith's podcast and stuff like that.
You know, I do think that there are issues that need to be addressed within that, the convention side of the community. I mean, overall... I did have fun. I really enjoyed hanging out with the friends I had made online.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with my co-host on the other show. It's great. Get along really well.
Just good.
You know. Well, if we didn't get along, we wouldn't do the show, you know?
Yeah, you guys have I never really saw that weird chemistry coming. Because, I mean, you know, we'd hung out with him a couple times here and there in the past before the pony thing and everything. Yeah. It's like... I don't know. You two just kind of clicked on this other show, and I was like, really? Huh. Okay.
Hey, it works.
Not that he's a dick or anything like that. I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I just didn't see you guys clicking as co-hosts like that.
That's, you know, just the magic of the internet.
Yeah.
But all in all, most people played nice.
Mm-hmm.
Average attendee had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Much many, many brony bucks were made by many, many people. And it was a convention. I mean, it was kind of weird because, you know, I don't attend conventions anymore to attend. I attend to do stuff. And this was a con where I was, again, doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, doing lots of supplemental recording, doing sitting behind a table. Actually signed a doorknob for somebody there.
I thought that was great.
They found you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of an open secret.
It's an open secret. I mean, yeah, I do Bronyville. Whoop-de-fucking-do. It's a really, it's a clean show that I really enjoy doing for that. And I still enjoy doing this for the furry community, you know, relationship advice podcast, because, you know, it's an important thing that this community needs, in my opinion. You know, I can be of both worlds. I'm like Blade. I'm a daywalker, man.
You're a fucking half breed. You're not welcome in Ponyville.
half fur fag.
I don't know, man. I'm just this half guy pony. That likes a bunch of stuff. I mean,
it's half fur fag, half pony fag, all fag.
You know, but
he ignores us and carries on.
It was an interesting experience. I really like the Northwest, but I really don't know if I'm going to go back next year, especially because they, like, timed themselves against Anthrocon.
Which is really a bad move.
It's a pretty bad move, actually, because I know a couple artists were like, oh, well, I guess I'm not coming back next year because it's against Anthrocon.
Yeah. And, you know, 1,500 people at a PonyCon, a very specific niche thing. Or over 5,000 people that's just anthros and is a lot broader.
Also, to be honest, AC is like the mecca of the furry fandom.
Oh, yeah. You have to go at least once.
I've been to Mecca once.
Instead of the Hajj.
I can't remember who it was I was talking to, and we were saying, like, yeah, you know, three times a day, furries have to, like, turn towards Pittsburgh and pray. We get it set up for a little prayer mat. It's like our cum-stained fursuit mat or something. At
the Kage prayer. Akbar. Kage Akbar.
Admiral Akbar, what?
No.
It's a trap.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting from just that perspective. Is like, as somebody who's attended both just a shit ton of cons in my day, that,
from a sociological perspective, it is... It's really fascinating because I got into furry and it was already furry. There were already cons. There was an established community. It's really interesting to see a new fandom kind of slowly grow and evolve. Yeah, except for the Christian bronies because they don't believe in evolution. But no, kidding. I don't know if there are Christian bronies.
I'm sure.
There's not. Celestia would fucking strike them down. Anyway, I am getting the feeling that I'm going to see it. Like, it's going supernova, like it's going to grow and grow and grow, and then it's going to explode and then shrink.
That's the thing, is that I see, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, that the pony fandom is following the same trajectory as the furry fandom did, except 30 times faster.
Yeah.
Because the internet is spreading it so fast and so quick.
Well, then there's a lot of furries involved, and they know conventions. And
oh, well, that too. But that's the thing. None of the furries that actually know conventions are actually the ones doing conventions.
Well, but they know that they exist, and they know about the rough format, not how the background goes. But
yeah, I mean, people are like, yeah, this is following the same trajectory, and I believe them at this point.
It's just way too much, too fast.
It's gonna. I mean,
there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
I think they're running at a faster pace than their experience and financing can really support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone wants to get guests. It's like, great, all the voiceover actors are either... They're all in Canada, with the exception of Tara Strong, who's in L.A., so one corner of this country. So unless you're in L.A., you're flying her in from somewhere.
Oh, yeah, and that's
actually
one of the reasons that... one thing that Every Northwest did have going for them is that they were so close to the border that a lot of the people from the animation staff, you know, came across the border, came down, just drove on down together and attended the convention. And they had a panel, and they walked around and schmoozed and were, you know, appreciated by random fans. Yeah. Or went incognito and, you know, would introduce themselves to people they wanted to and just walked around incognito otherwise.
I thought it was neat that at least one of the VA said I saw a clip of on your live stream was wearing the her con badge was the character that she plays in the show. I was like, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, there was actually somebody who made a badge for each of the VAs.
Oh, okay.
With their cutie mark on it, except for the ones for the three girls that do the cutie mark crusaders. Mm-hmm. All three of theirs had their character looking kind of sad with a no cutie mark.
Oh.
And they were wearing them. It was cute. So yeah, it was an adventure, and I'm short of Brony Fanfare. I'm really kind of glad that I'm not attending any further pony events for the rest of this year,
mm-hmm.
because I really want to see how these play out.
You don't want to get pony burnout or something?
Honestly, to a degree, yeah.
I gotta say that.
And putting in a lot of work and having to scramble so hard to get, like, voice actor access
mm-hmm.
when other groups have a far easier go of it because they're so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It is disheartening. It is very frustrating. And I've actually heard this from people that they're afraid that we're going to burn out on this. And I spoke with my co-host on this, and on the pony side of things, it is frustrating and it is disheartening, but there is still a lot of really good shit that's happening in that community. A lot of art, a lot of music, a lot of creativity
mm-hmm.
that is also sparked within the furry community to just in various different ways. This is focused creativity on a singular property, and they've produced, and a lot of people have produced a lot of really cool stuff. And as long as there are creative people like that out there that we can talk to, you know, talking to the voice actors, whatever, that's cool. But talking to the creative fans, that's where it's at. Because after the show's over, there's still going to be creative fans.
Mm-hmm.
But the voice actor's going to be off doing other things. And the mm-hmm. show staff's going to be working on some other stuff. You know, so
yeah,
there is a long-range goal for that. So
yeah, keep going as long as it can. You know, the Heroes podcast had a good 4-year run and then closed up shop when the show got canceled.
Yeah.
But they did really well while they were on.
And I mean, it's not a thing. It's like we've got other plans. I'm going to be attending FC for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Under the auspices of this other show.
That's and doing so funny pan- that you're going to FC because you were invited to do a pony panel.
Yeah,
finally get to go to the furry con out there after you've been a furry for like all these years.
It's funny that
and that's the one that we've always wanted to do. No, I'm ever going to take Knotcast on the road and go on a show and do it at FC.
And that's kind of funny. We've been doing this, which is a very furry centric podcast for I don't know how long.
4 years,
Four and a half years.
Yeah,
we did get a guest of honor once, but your other show gets invited out, and it's like, and we have a hard time getting panels at some cons.
Well, I mean, it's a different
show.
It's
not adult, though.
Yeah,
it's not adult. It's not, you know, we're talking about the community and talking to artists and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us; it's a couple of other artists MIDI and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not just us, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like the next thing that we'll be doing for on that side is
mm-hmm.
actually doing FC.
But for us, I'm looking forward to weekend after Mephit.
Mm-hmm.
Saverin and I are going down to Brony Fanfare down in Austin.
Yeah.
So that'll be my first pony related event.
Yay. And then we have OklaCon.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. So, well,
looking forward to OklaCon.
I've got Rainforest after that, and then Galaxicon after that, and then OklaCon.
Yep.
So between now and the first weekend in October, I have 4 conventions, 3 of which I'm dealing at, and I'm moving.
Well, like, I have I have Anime Fest MFM weekend.
Yeah.
I'll be in town, and I'm actually doing panels there for the pony stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Austin one.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, actually. But there was one other one. I don't know. Anyways, we're very prolific on pretty much all sorts of things. We're creative nerds. It's what we do.
I just got MFM and then Okla.
Yep.
Yep.
Because I'm boring.
And I'm, for Planet, we'll be dealing at Midwest Fur Fest, but I'm not able to go, so Tyrion will be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, and he's also going to be at Fur Fright, which is like a week before or after OkuCon, so it's kind of like, it'd be like really tight scheduling anyway. No OkuCon, I've got like no time off. It won't even get approved because of the way the work schedule works in. It's a busy time for us. So OkuCon, I'm like, this is going to be one of those crappy drive up after work on Friday, come home Sunday night deals for me.
that kind of sucks.
So just make sure that Notcast doesn't get scheduled on Friday night because I might still be driving.
No,
if some of the OkuCon staff are listening.
Yeah, I think I did tell them that to make it on Saturday like it was the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Please.
So, you know, I've had an interesting week. This was kind of interesting, actually. I can't remember what day this happened, but this story, it goes back 4 years, but it also goes back about a month. So 4 years ago, Wil Wheaton had made a blog post that was all about how fandom is great and embrace all these different fandoms except fuck furries. It was basically what it boiled down to. And Matthew Ebel had actually gotten into a conversation with him on the blog, like, hey, what the fuck, man? And what it turned out to be about was that at some point in the past, he said it happened multiple times, but like a fursuiter had like basically
molested him,
dry humped his leg or something at Dragon Con or, you know, some other non-furry convention, basically. But the fact that he was just like, fuck all furries, but embrace all other fandoms, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It actually even made an article on Flara. So a month ago was Wil Wheaton's birthday, and he's on this crusade right now to like stop people from being dicks on the internet. It's called Don't Be a Dick Day. And so he wanted his birthday to be Don't Be a Dick Day. And I had tweeted at the time that I thought it was kind of hypocritical for him to do Don't Be a Dick Day when he was like, fuck this one fandom, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing came of it at the time. You know, I talked to a few people about it on Twitter. It got retweeted a couple of times, whatever. So, a full month later, I don't know who or why or how this happened, but somehow it was getting retweeted again. And I saw people replying to me and Wil Wheaton's Twitter account and asking this or that, or pointing out this and that. And I was like, why is this coming up again out of the blue, like a month later? And then Wil Wheaton replied to me. And I was like, oh, well, now I got an answer straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And basically what he said was, I don't hate hurt furries. I just hate being randomly humped by somebody in a fursuit because they think it's cute.
So, and I don't blame him. It is kind of creepy. It annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah. At that point, he and me too, because we were CC'd on it, were bombarded with people being like, well, you know, we look down on those people too, and they're not representative of furries. And, you know, and I was just like, hey, fursuiters ruin everything. No. Kidding. Yeah, and I didn't say that on Twitter because, oh my God, I don't want to deal with that drama. But yeah, even though the fursuiters was like, yeah, that's really out of line, you know. But I just thought it was interesting that he kind of made a more definitive statement and his stance.
You still got a retweet, a reply from Wil Wheaton.
That's actually kind of neat, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm a TNG fan, so, you know, I watched him years ago.
I was going to say.
Growing up on that show. But, you know, now is, I guess his, like, stance on furry has evolved or something because he's more like, I don't hate furries. I just hate the douchebags that do that shit, basically. So,
and, which is a fair thing to dislike.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I hate that shit, too.
Yeah.
So, couple other things I was just going to mention right quick. MFM is next weekend, so this will be the last episode that goes out before the con. So,
oh, you're right.
Yep.
God.
I know.
Time's really weird. It's like,
yeah.
Wait, it's been a whole week since I came. Oh God.
Oh, God, it's MFM. Which means it's only another week after that before we go down to Austin. So,
holy shit, dude. Time is flying.
So you're definitely going, yes, Shiva?
Yes.
Okay. I'm also going to be there. I'm going to be in the dealer's room if you want to see me. Please buy something from me. We have three tables. I'll be bringing, like, all of our comics and books. I'm also going to be selling Sofa Wolf's stuff because I'm one of their distributors and they don't go to that con. So sell their stuff. And we also received from them a limited number of the Nordgard hardcovers. So if you've wanted one of those, they're kind of hard to find sometimes, then get there early and purchase one because I don't have a whole hell of a lot of them. And I'm also going to have some of the Dark Horse hardcovers too. Black Sad, the new Black Sad, A Silent Hell, Grandville 1 and 2, and so forth.
Knowing me, I'll cycle around to see you. And I'm debating if I want to get an alley slot. I mean, I really have been debating if I want to, you know,
I think sit. You could just kind of walk in and plop down in there.
You do have to be there and register and such. Oh, okay. I checked with, like, Rama and read online.
Artist alley used to be, I guess, seemed more casual than that, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe I'll think of somewhere else. Just reading their website, they pretty much mirror mine, so.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, except they do handle their taxes differently.
Maybe put it in, you know, and, you know, if you get in one day out of three or something, fine, you know, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, just see whatever you feel like doing at a time. You can make a couple extra books, but then you are tied to a table, you all know. Day. Unless you're a dealer like me, pulling in all that, dragging all that shit with you, you know.
Well,
you
just bring my tackle box of art supplies and my
scrapbook. Sometimes I envy the life of an artist, but then on the flip side of that, the benefit for me is that I don't have any homework after the dealer's room closes.
Yeah.
And I've heard of artists and I've talked to artist friends that are like, they're up drawing at 4 or 5 in the morning because they took too many sketchbooks that day and shit like that, you know?
I probably wouldn't take that many. Yeah, I do quick little ones or just, you know.
Pace yourself, you know.
Basically,
yeah. I know of at least one artist at Everything of the West who took on too much and he was doing sketches all night.
Mm-hmm.
No rest for the wicked.
I bet it's tempting for a younger or less experienced artist who goes to like their first big con to be like, oh my god, all the money. Then pretty soon you're full for the weekend, you know, on Friday morning.
Yeah, and that's basically it. It's like, and it's like, it's my first time at MFM, and I'm going to be tagging around, you know, people I know because, oh my god, I'm in a strange place.
I know one mate is coming. Is the other one coming also?
No, I'm just going with Sarah.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, yeah, you can come by and say hi. You know where I'll be. I actually got a really cool spot. I don't know if I mentioned this on Notcast before, but
you
walk in and you turn left. I am the first three tables on the left, right by the entrance door. To my left, at the same group of table, is Michelle Light, which is kind of cool. And Bucktown is right across from me.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going to see a whole bunch of familiar faces go in. The only con shirts I have now are Furry Fiesta, so I'm going to be wearing up our gang colors.
Yeah, I have to say that a lot of my con shirts, they're looking a little ratty, except for the Furry Fiesta ones.
It's been a while.
I wish we would reprint some of those. I really love the Michelle Light. I want to get a reprint of that. Yeah, I
really
do. Mine's starting to get a little ratty. It's got hair on one of the armpits.
Oh, you guys can do me a favor, actually. Or Zap can do it, one or the other. But I'll be printing up some flyers for Furry Fiesta, and I'll need people
and
to
we will flyer.
Scatter them around. Yeah,
of course. I don't have a lot of solid plans. Like I said, I've never been, so I was just gonna kind of follow Sarah around like a little lost puppy, and maybe do the alley and look for people I know and hide.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know the Ringtail Cafe folks will be there, and I've been good friends with them for a long, long time, especially Growly. We go back years, so I'll probably be having dinner with them at least one time.
Yeah.
Maybe try to hang out with them after hours. Maybe, you know, you and I could go out to dinner some night or something. Yeah. There'll be people there, you know. There'll be so many locals
there. I know, there's
going to
be. I get a little bit of crowd anxiety, at least as far as...
I do, too. That's why I put a table between me and the crowd.
Yeah.
It helps.
It's weird. It's like I do and I don't have social anxiety. I'm great in crowds. I actually really like crowds so long as I have someone I know with me.
Mm.
If I'm alone, I get a little bit anxiety, but if I got someone with me, I'm just fine. I'm ducky.
I noticed this especially in the last year because I've had a lot of shit going on and everything that I got really more nervy around crowds than I used to be. But it's like most of the time I'm okay when I'm behind the table.
If you know, that barrier between.
I said that kind of facetiously. I don't know if it's really that I need a barrier, but it's maybe more that I'm doing something and I'm kind of there in a professional capacity, so you're not, you know.
Thinking.
But that's a really busy time, right? And I'm doing something and I'm very active. But then there's usually I hit this point in the evening where I'm like, okay, I need some calm and quiet now. So while other furries are going to late night panels or off at the dances or something like that, I'll be like just sitting in my room chilling for a bit, you know? Not because I'm depressed or anything, just like I just need a bit of space.
Well,
you know?
And I also don't get like that at Fiesta. When I'm at Fiesta, it's, I don't know if it's because my home turf and I know the hotel so well.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff. I don't feel anything like that at Fiesta, but it's just other places.
Interesting.
You know, so, I don't know.
Well, that fits a new place. It's pretty cool. And, you know, I like the dealer's room last year. Things went very well, so I'm hoping for a good year this year because Darren and I are moving and we're going to have a lot of housing expenses and stuff like that. So, like.
Looking. Speaking of which, yeah, there's the dealer's den is run by Rama, which I had a lot of fun talking to at Fiesta after, like, various.
Good. I'm glad you guys actually got to, talk
this
shop.
Year we're rooming with Rama.
Oh, right. You'll get to hear all about it.
So all the dealer.
You'll come into the room and slam the door and be like, ugh, fucking assholes at Fur Planet. Ugh.
Well, and I go, yeah, well.
I know. No. Actually, I try to not be a pain in the ass. I mean, I have my requests and stuff like that, but yeah. I try to put it. Any special requests, like, well in advance, in the little special request box on the application and shit like that,
and,
you know?
Yeah, and realize there's only so much that can be done.
Yeah, you know, don't put me next to the smelly guy, put me next to my friends. There is no smelly guy dealer, as far as I know, but, you know.
He deals in smells and scents. Oh, you want to be the fox? Here, have some fox piss. You now smell like a fox.
Pour this musk all over you.
But, yeah,
be sure to open your mouth so you smell foxy on the inside.
Hunting dogs chase you down and gnaw on your ankles.
Oh, this is so hot. Ow, I feel really close to my species. Ow!
So, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be interesting. So we should probably read an email.
No, actually, I have more to talk about.
You have more?
I have more.
Oh, he made a list. God.
I made a list because there was like several things.
I'm most of the way through a drawing now. Yay.
Good, keep drawing.
I had fucking bullet points here, like shit that I want to talk about. So there's a video that Saverin refuses to watch because he's boring.
I haven't had a time to watch it.
And I want you to put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Because, so the model's name is Staff Strashko, and this is a Japanese commercial for Toyota, and it's really, really hot. It's this androgynous model. It's only like 20 seconds long, but it's just like I saw it and I was like, damn, that'll never air in America. I posted it on my FA journal, so some folks probably already seen it and everything, but it's something
and
I think
on Twitter. And it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. Yeah, check this out. The other video link I posted to Twitter was Onion's hilarious news parody video talking about how all the gay prostitutes are getting ready for big weekend with the Republican National Convention, and they posted up a picture of like the fee schedule for prostitutes.
Oh yeah. Well, what's really funny though is that there actually is a bathhouse in Florida that is like, hey. Free admission to all, you know, RNC delegates and attendees. Come get your.
Just show your con badge. Wow, it's like getting the $5 sub deal at Fernando's. It's a different kind of 6-incher.
Just hope it's not a foot long.
Well, that's the extra special.
It's not $5.
With the French onion dip. No. The other thing that I wanted to put out there is the Doctor Who returns.
Oh yes.
Next Saturday, September 1st, while we're at MFM.
I know the bitches.
So I'll have to watch it when I get home.
Watch party?
It'd be nice if we can swing it. But it's going to be premiering on the BBC and BBC America the same day. I believe Canada is also getting it the same day. And Australia is getting it 1 week delayed, which is not too bad. I'm sure all the Aussies will pirate it well before that anyway. But there's also apparently, I have not looked into this yet, but there's apparently a short video series that they're putting out before that. I think it starts this weekend, called Pond Life. And it's basically what the ponds have been up to in their day-to-day lives in the last year, basically since we've last seen them. So for all my fellow whoofags out there,
of which there are plenty,
yes, in case you missed the copious retweeting I did of like the BBC Twitter feed and all that, that's when Doctor Who comes back. Finally, it'll be back next Saturday.
Awesome.
So
God, I know I saw somebody like on Tumblr retweet this thing, trying to find a link for it, of this.
What, the video?
The video.
Go to my Fur Affinity page. It's in my journal.
Okay.
So, while Saverin's scrolling Tumblr, we should read an email.
Read an email, one of y'all, Wheel and I'll put it in the notes.
Turn.
Tell us the kink that we should learn.
All right. I'm going to read this one. Episode 189. Which it's actually now 190, but oh well. Good evening, Knot, Ears, and L-Shape. Since you're doing an episode on fetish, why not tell us what your fetishes are, how you got into them, as well as ones you want to try. Thanks, Hex.
Well, that's a way to lead it off and get us back into rambling.
Right. It's like, okay, well, we can put the tablets down for a while.
And talk about our kinks.
Okay. I'm actually going to pull up my...
Do you have a list with bullet points of this one, too?
No, I don't. I was actually going to pull up my FA page and be like, okay, let me look at my commissions and be like, okay, is this a kink I forgot I have? So, you want to go first?
I guess so. I don't know if I've actually talked about mine. Well, obviously, I like Herms. I'm actually really into gender bending, whether it comes from girly boys, boy girls, hermaphrodites, you know, wherever.
I just say androgyny is hot. That's
Well, then there's the line where you can't tell what it is, whether it's, you look at it with one out of one corner of your eye, it's a boy, mm-hmm. or is it a girl. I really like that, but I also like the full, you know, you start mixing your metaphors type. you know, I love boys in girly clothes, and I like the, you know, all the way up to drag kings for, you know, girls going full. Let's see. So gender blending is a really big kink of mine. Let's see.
Gender fucking.
Yeah, gender fucking. Let's see. I really like, orgasm control. Not denial. There's a difference. Orgasm control. And in other words, I am a really big tease. it's always been a thing. I like to get someone riled, and they don't get off until I let them. So.
Or else.
Or else. Sometimes I like, you know, they
know. Or else you get the hose.
Well, sometimes it's like they know they're not supposed to, and you push them over anyways. So it's the whole of, oh, shit, you know, and you're just sitting there like, haha, I made you lose it. Or sometimes...
I made you come.
Basically.
Oops, made you come.
Kind of, yeah, actually. You probably saw my Twitter feed. I've discovered a new thing last night I discovered I liked very much and will continue to do.
I don't know if I saw that.
I discovered I really like pegging.
Oh, you've tried that. Okay.
Yes.
I was wondering what he meant by getting stuffed. And I was like, did she ever get a peg?
Yes. I went up to condoms to go last night and mm-hmm. I got a toy. And yes, it is very fun.
Have you got the hip thrust motion down?
He liked it, so I guess I do.
Because I've seen a couple videos of girls pegging, and I guess that humping motion doesn't come naturally to women, which I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, and we don't use it.
Exactly. It's not a motion that you really have to do. And so I've seen some pegging videos where, like, the girl clearly did not have the handle on it. So I
well, it's a different way of pivoting your hips. It's a lot more shallow, I guess. You kind of have to tilt the bottom of your pelvis rather than like the middle. It's yeah, I know what you mean, and it was kind of awkward at first, but apparently yeah. I found the right groove because yes,
yeah,
we got one of the Fun Factory shares. It's one of the ones that you don't need a harness for.
Oh, okay. So it's like a Fieldo kind of?
Yeah, only it's a matte silicone instead of like a slick silicone like the Fieldo. We want, because we've got friends that work up at Condoms to Go, wanted to make sure that they got the sale. So, oh, okay, and they cool. didn't have a real dough in, so this had excellent reviews. Because
mm-hmm.
I went out and I read, and this one had like 5 stars, and the reviews were being written by the male half of the couple who were like, yes, 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 yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
And apparently it's got a really, really nice angle that, you know, he really liked it. So, had been curious about trying it for a while. Yes.
Cool.
Very,
so
very
it
fun.
Feels good physically to you, too. There's enough stimulation on both ends.
I don't know if I could get off using it, but it's fun.
Right.
It feels good. I don't know.
And like then you can get off in other ways after.
Yeah. So it's. I tried something new.
No, that's cool. See, I've never actually tried pegging in real life. It's a kink of mine that I enjoy in art and stories. So it's like something that maybe I'll try one day, but.
Because I had pictures of it on my After Dark Twitter, the exact one. Hold on, I'll pull
well,
it
up. Well, if it's available on Adam and Eve.
It's not. I looked on Adam and Eve because it did run us almost $100, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. Do not skimp. And it was it's a really high-grade silicone. It's very, very hypoallergenic. It's really easy to clean. So
just
I mean,
toss it in the dishwasher.
Oh, God, I don't want to think
with of it. With the dishes. No.
Considering the other mate does the dishes, I don't want to really explain what the that would be interesting. Here's a picture. That one.
Oh, let's see.
It's big and black.
Oh, that's a good size. Oh, and I like the curve, too. That would work better with him on his back because it would curve upwards into the prostate.
Well, he liked it on his knee, so.
Seven.
He's like, what do you do? Change a tire with that?
Oh, I see.
I don't need to.
He did the quirked eyebrow. It's like, what? Not big enough? Because you're a fox? It needs to be like the length of Shiva's forearm?
On Adam and Eve, they've got the hyper
insert
small
horse
one.
Joke here.
Oh, really?
And then they've got one. They don't have it on Adam and Eve, but they've got one that's like longer than that, and it's got like big swirls on it. It's like, oh no, no, I am not.
You have to twist down and just screw on.
I saw that. It's like, maybe for a girl, not in the butt.
I don't know. It'd probably be all right.
Well, so the thing is,
yeah,
this way
some texture.
It
good.
Looks like it's longer than it is because it has to reach all the way from underneath and then
underneath you and
the, and then project right. all the way out the front. So it's about double the length of what you would think would go in a person, but no.
For secret butt fun.
Which is actually kind of hot because when you look at it, it looks very imposing. But,
it does know. Look kind of scary, or like you could change a tire with it, but yeah.
Yeah.
This was going in you.
So
get one that just looks like a crowbar.
As far as other fetishes, those are my, well, two big ones and the new one. I don't know if I call much else. Other than that, I love threesomes or moresomes, but, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I've always really enjoyed them.
The more the merrier is your philosophy.
Actually,
the more
in some
the
ways,
merrier.
Shut so, up, Saverin.
I just... I'm a dumb personality, and I actually like working over a sub with someone else, so.
Mm-hmm. So. Like a two-on-one kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a couple of times where I've been in a threesome, it's always been like me and two subs, And it's like, I really don't like dividing my attention that much.
Were they footlongs or 6 inches?
6 inches.
That's something that's been kind of cool, is that a lot of the subs in the fandom have huge dicks.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's like, yeah, the subbiest guys have gigantic dicks.
Like tiny little twinks with massive cocks. This is more than once this has happened to me. And I've been like, well, you know, you're not going to be using it anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
See, I just had this image, though, of you in bed with two subs, and it's like you with a couple of 6 inches from somebody.
Oh, God, we gotta get a picture of that. Fuzzball with two subs.
Like the foot-long meatball one, and it's dripping the marinara all over me.
So, God. But yeah, it's like if you're with two subbies, you kind of feel like you're dividing your attention, but working over a sub with another Dom personality and just making that one sub squirm is actually really fun.
Well, I have seen a pretty hot comic online. It was like, if someone has a real denial kink, basically it was this one sub was like tied to a chair with the ball gag and everything. And the Dom was working over another sub in front of him, and he couldn't get up or touch himself or participate or anything like that. So it's like, that was a really hot little comic series, you know.
Yeah, I could see that, but the other sub would have to be really
patient
or into that kind.
That's what it's like. Yeah, they'd have to really have a denial fetish, to get into that.
So I could see it. So that's my major ones.
So lactation, scat, water sports, stabbing people.
Are these all the ones on your nope list?
Oh, I'm reading the wrong list. Shit.
Giantism. Elephantiasis.
Oh, God. You know, look at my balls. They're as big as, like, beach balls.
No.
Doom, doom. Oceans of cum. As we've talked about, I mean, I like girly boys, so I like androgyny is hot. I don't like all the way to drag queens, because I'm not into that. Seems to be a totally different aesthetic.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of hyper.
You like traps, you don't like drag.
I love traps. I would love to be trapped by a trap. Like,
you think it's a girl, like, and then, oh, surprise.
Like, I'm going to pick up a girl on the rare occasion that I do, and then it turns out to be a guy, I'd be like, works for me.
Let's go.
Yeah. This conversation came up on Twitter, and it'd be like, the joke's on you. I'm just going to put it in your butt anyway. Doing it in the butt, I don't know if that's actually a fetish, but it's like, because it's kind of natural when it's male-male. Yeah. But male-female anal, I like that in artwork as well.
The rusty wagon wheel.
The rusty wagon wheel. Either way. Either
dirty sheriff's badge.
Either guy doing the girl in the butt or pegging. So I guess I just like
the cigar cutter.
I like people taking it in the ass. It doesn't matter their gender or whether it's a real cock or a strap-on. So
just in the butt.
Yeah. And, you know, if you have a straight guy that's like, and his girl's not into pegging, I'll fuck him. Just tell him it's like an all-natural strap-on.
Except it's attached.
Works for me. Yeah, it's permanently attached. I don't have a detachable penis like the song. Spanking has been one for a long time. The other thing the article asked was like how we got into them, I guess. And that's
try it. You'll like it?
I don't know, because I just sort of naturally, I guess you sort of, with the girly boy thing, you kind of slowly develop what you find attractive and notice that you like looking at certain body type in porn or something. Mm-hmm. With the spanking thing, I don't really know. It's a real common fetish. Of course, like I was saying on the other episode, like I was like really, really shy about it the first time I was commissioning artwork because I thought it was scandalous, especially male-male. Turns out it's actually really fucking common. So I'm totally boring.
Mine is I'm
pretty distressingly boring.
I think, well, androgyny, I don't know where it kind of just grew. I don't know, really know, can't put a thumb on where I started liking all the gender blending.
I'm wondering if that's common with bisexuals.
It may be. Yeah.
Well, it's like, for me, I like, you know, I like delicious flat chests, but I also like big tits and, you know,
I'm totally not into big tits. That's just when I like girls. I like kind of small.
Yeah, I like small. You know, to
it's
moderate.
Like I'm
yeah.
one of those guys. It's like I guess I'm not terribly picky.
Like I wouldn't say no to like a hot like a hot chick with big tits really wanted to do me. Then,
but
you
it
know,
wouldn't be like you know it's like ooh look at the you know.
Yeah, look at the fun bags on that hose hound. You know.
God.
I don't even know where I got that expression. Something from years ago.
The orgasm denial. It started out as
You just like being a dick.
Yeah. Well, like, that's kind of it. Well, the thing is I don't.
Now
just,
that you have a strap on, you can be a dick.
It started out as I like the reaction. I like building up, and then I like the finish. It was just. I didn't even know there was a name for it until it's like, oh, ah, so that's the word for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it just started out with she was a fucking tease. Well, except.
You do actually let them finish.
Yeah,
eventually.
Yeah. Eventually, being the operative
like 3 years later.
Well, it's always in the same session. It's not like right. I blue balls them or anything else like that.
Yeah.
And I also. Pegging actually just came out of the new mate. He is very bi, very, very bi.
Yeah.
And he missed male companionship, waxed on poetically about,
the feeling of a cock.
Yeah, that's kind of how it came up.
He wrote a haiku about it.
No.
Okay.
And it just kind of grew out of that and decided to try it, and yes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, give it a shot. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one like Savard said. Well, you know, you tried something and you liked it.
It's the biggest holdup in trying it previously is the price of the toys.
Yeah.
Because look at the stuff on Adam and Eve, and some of the stuff that looks fairly cheap is like, you're going to get what you pay for. So we were all the toys that we were really thinking about trying anything with, it's a really big investment for something that you don't know for sure certain you like.
Yeah, because it's not something you can really return afterwards.
Oh, God, no. So it's you were looking at the toys.
Try it and like it or else.
Looking at the price tag going, do we really, really want to? And finally it's like, well, okay, I don't want to buy something cheap and have us not like it because
it's
something.
You don't want to stick it in and break it off.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we'll just sink our money in, get a good one, and go with one that gets good reviews, and we'll cross our fingers and pray.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it was not a waste of money, but we were really worried about that we were going to buy a toy we cannot return.
Yeah.
And have it be something, oh, God, this is crap. Why did we spend X amount of money on this, and it's not even a fun thing?
Mm. In theory, though, if you hadn't enjoyed it, you could still have used it on him like a toy.
Yeah.
You know, because
the dick part
seems fairly easy to not fuck up. Yeah, it would be like a handle. You know, you could still do that and alternate.
That was kind of it. But all went well, and thankfully it wasn't a wasted investment.
The other thing I find really attractive that I haven't really done like a lot of commissions of that I need to do more is bottomless. Like when a character is like wearing clothes
only
on the top.
A torso.
It gets cut off at the navel.
Shut up. No,
I know.
Yeah, they're wearing clothes on the top, and they're naked or otherwise partially clothed on the bottom. You know, like maybe like stockings and a shirt and nothing underneath. And I think it's like it's a combination of I really like nice asses and thighs, and that whole area is exposed in that case. But it's also like that ties into the whole spanking thing, I guess, because it's like it's just. Scene of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything on underneath, you know. And there's so many like cute, embarrassed characters that are like,
pulling down the shirt, pulling down the skirt.
Yeah. But it's like there's like a whole group for that on FA and everything. Like it's a known kind of thing. So
like bottomless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a tag that people use. Like I started using it in a couple of the drawings that I've got. So yeah, there are the people that are into it. It's like it's a strange attraction. But some people are also into the partially clothed thing anyway. Because there's I saw somebody else posted about this a while back. Because it's like it gives the drawing a sense of we were just so desperate for each other that we didn't even bother to take off our clothes entirely. You'll see this a lot with like the. Characters fucking in the office or something like that.
Or in the alley or...
Yeah, where you know, the topper guy is just undressed enough to get his dick out, you know, and just pull the pants down or the panties out of the way or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so some people are into that, like a partially clothed thing. This is a little different than that because it's just bare bottom, basically. Yeah. So, I don't know. I really like that. I need to commission more.
Yay. Like that.
And Saverin is boring and has no fetishes.
I'm really not one of those guys. Like, I think it's my problem is that I'll try about anything once and then kind of...
Okay, come here. I'm going to give you a Cleveland steamer.
I said about anything once.
That's not one.
We have our rules for a reason.
Does anybody have a glass coffee table I can borrow?
No.
But, you know, so it's like I'll try things and just be like, eh. Or if I like them... But I don't make it like it has to be this one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the trip after Everfree that you guys didn't talk about out to the farm. Be like, hey, I'm going to try this once.
Oh, no. Dude,
unacceptable.
I didn't say you were going to fuck the horse. You'd be being fucked by the horse. It's totally different.
Dude, that, no. God.
No. No. No cult cuddling.
That's it. Show's over.
Podcast flip.
Deleted. Shoved into sun. Podcast put through shredder.
Followed by buzz.
Followed by buzz.
It's the sound of like an iPad being shoved into a paper shredder.
It doesn't work that way. Get the hammer. Panther comes over. What did you do?
Didn't they do a Will It Blend with the iPad?
Yeah.
It has to be a big fucking blender.
It was a big fucking blender, and then, like, it didn't want to blend all the way and caught fire, I think it was.
So I vaguely remember them doing it with the phone, and it was like there was a big pop once the battery exploded. Because, yeah, phone batteries don't like that shit at all.
Yeah.
So what do you like? Like,
it's like
what's the hotness for
I'm
you?
I'm bi and can go either way in terms of sexual attraction.
So obviously, we really are by and large here.
All three of us. Woo.
The, you know, male partner, almost eight years now, I think. Yeah. You know, obviously biased towards males, but, you know, chicks are cool too. And it's like the things I like, you know, not too picky on, I like my girls a little bit thicker. Think Kadath. The way he draws his giraffe girls.
Rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Little rounded. Big tits are cool, too.
That's funny. Like, I'm not into big tits, but I love Kadath's artwork. I love Nightshade. It's so hot.
I like... But, like, small tits are great, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like using my mouth on things. So...
On things.
Well, there's, you know... The way his mouth can be used in terms of pleasuring one's partner.
Yes. Either gender.
Of either gender, that's right. Threesomes are fun.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like I don't do anything like really that kinky.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean,
it's kind of funny to say that, like, yeah, threesomes are cool and oral's fun, but I don't do anything that kinky. When people are like, threesomes, oh, you know, it's like...
That's kind of it. It's like,
The normalization of kinks to just, like, it's this thing that I do.
I guess I call those things that I like, I don't really... They don't seem that weird, but maybe it's just because I've been on the internet too long.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I have found that there are many things that will... phase people to hell and back, but for me it's like, eh, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's sort of shrug at this, you know, random thing, and they're like tripping. And so I mean it probably is a sense of I've been on the internet a very long time, so I've seen it all pretty much.
Plus, I mean, you know, there's, oh god, that's actually animated. For some reason this popped into my head a moment ago when we were talking. It's this Ask Carol blog. It's just vomiting Carol.
Oh.
There's a character named Caramel.
And well, that one. Okay.
Somebody asked if he was made of caramel, and he's like just vomiting caramel. Like, oh.
That looks so uncomfortable.
I'm a horse. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I don't even think my kinks are that
out of the ordinary, really. Spanking for you.
Yeah, that, okay. that's like the big one, spanking girly boys, you know.
But then again, you know, we come out of an internet subculture that's so open with its sexuality that it's like pretty much a lot, most things are fairly mundane to a lot of us, at least in theory, and for some things in practice. So, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, you know, it's a thing. Where to some people, it's like, oh my god.
I guess some people think furries are like a really fucked up kink, you know, but it's like.
I guess. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, but at the same time, not really. It's like, it's an art style. I mean, I wouldn't call it a fetish.
No. You
know, some people do, but some people are idiots.
It depends on their application of it. I mean, if you really like slapping on cat ears and a tail while fucking and meowing and stuff, sure, that could be a furry as a fetish. But furry is also like an art style and a subculture. And
I've also seen lingerie that was like a bunny tail and ears and little fluffy panties. So it's not like it's limited to,
you know, they have those the butt plugs that are foxtails or pigtails. And
yeah, unfortunately, it was pointed out to me that the foxtail one are usually from the captive foxes that they electrocute and skin. So don't buy one of those.
Yeah,
maybe it's me and maybe I'm weird. I just always thought as a furry, as a big animal fan, it's kind of, I don't know, hypocritical to be wandering around with things made out of, I don't know, like the foxtails that are actually made out of fox.
Yeah, that's why I pointed that out.
Yeah, that was just, in general, it's like.
I'm just pointing out that they're, like, available at fairly average, innocuous. And this is another perspective thing. Average, innocuous sex store.
That we just kind of treated as more blasé than, like, some people do.
I really have to. It is a very big perspective thing.
Yeah. Because I remember one day, like, I happened to mention this joke to my a friend at work. And this was years ago at a different job. But we were on lunch. This wasn't when we were on the job. But it was just, like, something about how much cum stings when it gets in your eye. And, like, that's just the kind of thing. Like, you guys don't even react. It's like, yeah. I think it was something that Two Griffin said in the stand-up routine. But then again, you listen to Kevin Smith, and it's all cum all the time. You know that. You've listened to his audiobook.
Yeah.
But my buddy just reacted like, oh, my God. Like, that was the most scandalous, outrageous thing he'd ever heard. Not in, like,
What a world.
Not like he was a prude or anything, but just, like, it was like, whoa, that's that really way out there humor, you know? And to me, it was just that everyday humor, you know?
I don't know. I mean, it is a perspective, and I'm sure, you know, some morals, oh, that's just because you're bad people, and rah, 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 you know? You don't treat sex as sacred, rah, 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 you know? But
does that mean I have to, like, sacrifice something before I
see? You have to plunge your dick into somebody to sacrifice them, sanctify it to the, pick your deity. No, it is kind of funny, though, because, you know, we're like, just some of the stuff we say sometimes, like, innocuous, it's a sex store. What is it? Well, go in there, you buy dildos and stuff. It's not a thing. But for some people, like, oh, God, I would not be caught dead going into one of those. And it's like,
but they're fun. Yeah.
If you want to have a lot of fun, you can, like, strap your strap onto your forehead and be like, I'm a unicorn, and then still use it the same way. You'd sort of headbang right into his butt cheeks.
No.
So, anyways, we're well over an hour at this point.
I wanted to see that drawn. So, I read that, so somebody else can read an email.
I think he wants
we should stop and save at minimum.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't want to lose an episode. That would be terrible.
All right.
Especially not when we mentioned you. Yeah. Oh, here, I can click desktop version.
Yay.
Yeah.
I hate the ones where they won't let you get to the desktop version.
Yeah. Like, Twitter's bad about that. You have to, like, trick it.
Yeah, I don't want the retarded, dumbed-down mobile version.
You want the effective version.
You know what's even more annoying? When you click a link to go to a website and it starts to load and then reroutes you to the, hey, why don't you download our app page?
You're like, no, fuck you.
And it's like, wow, I think I will. Quote, no one ever.
So, anyways, we save the file because that's, God forbid we lose an episode of this quality podcast.
That's how we roll, motherfucker.
Okay, yeah. So we do have an item from Adam and Eve. We have a sponsor. Oh my god.
Yay.
Watch it, about it gets interesting about halfway through.
Okay.
So hopefully it's quiet so I can do this.
Yeah, like I can't really watch it, but I'll just
we'll save it for
so AdamandEve.com. Yeah. They make the most trusted source for adult products.
Use our coupon
code. You can use our coupon code NOT at checkout to save yourself 50% off that's one spelled item. K-N-O-T.
Why?
Stop.
Don't make him yay you again.
There will be such things done to you.
Such yays and more yays.
Oh, so much yay. Anyways, so with their item, you use our coupon code and that's item, and we pick an item each week. Fuck.
I could just keep saying it. Wait, what?
You got him so riled up, he's tripping over his words. He's caught jacket.
How many cocks do you have in your mouth right now,
Sarah? All of them.
None of yours, them, apparently. Mine. So, anyways.
Just say yours, mine.
I could go home and get one and, you know, add to the file.
I've got a cock you could borrow for your mouth.
So, anyways, God, you guys. this is totally at my expense, too. So, this week's item is a DVD called Buyback Mountain. If you guys can't figure it out, it's a movie parody, but also bisexual porn. You know what's great about that? Because it's dudes with dudes and chicks. And that's hot.
Like, the chick is just sitting bored watching.
In the corner, twiddling her thumbs, no, playing on her iPhone. No,
it's a full-on, you know.
She's playing Sudoku, and you just, and the camera is just on her, and all you hear is just the slapping and the squelching sounds.
And she's like, man, this Sudoku is really hard.
No, put a 9 down in the corner. Yeah!
I'm going to put a 9 right in your 1. Oh. Right in your 5 hole.
So, this item is $50 from AdamandEve.com. But if you use our coupon code, that reduces it down to $24.95. Our coupon code? Yay! You get 50% off one item, free shipping in the continental U.S., 3 DVDs and a mystery gift. You get an additional sampler DVD that has scenes from 3 different adult films in it. So you get lots of porn for a little bit of money. And I think I might have to kill Fuzz.
But not me. I will survive.
No, Shiva will live long and until she falls down some stairs.
I'm a cat, I'll survive.
Because she's part dragon now.
Oh, now retarded. Thank you, Severn.
She's a cat dragon tard.
I couldn't tell if you said tar or tard there.
Yes.
I'm a chat tard. Because then you're like, you're tripping over your extra limbs and your wings are getting in the way.
Yes.
Accidentally whack yourself in the face with the spike tail.
Aren't you glad you have us over every Friday night, Severn?
Don't we bring light to your life?
Pain to your brain.
Pain to my life. Pain to my life and light to my eyes or something. I don't know. Anyways, God, you guys, you're terrible.
Beautiful light like diamonds in my brain.
You know, I can't believe you said that, Fuzz, making me having to edit it out like that. You know, I really don't think that the... that community would appreciate what you said. Anyways, so I'm going to read an email now.
The second of the night.
Our coupon code, BABYFUR10.
No. Potato cannon.
How'd you know my street name?
Because you've told us.
Coupon code elephant trunk. Anyways, goodness, guys, come on.
Read!
So, dear Notcast, this email being two parts due to me having a serious question, but also not wanting to miss out on the wheel of fetishes. If you only choose one to read, I totally understand. Too bad you get both. The topic is titled Transgender Crush and an On-Topic Response. Off-topic. I have recently run into an interesting situation that I'm not quite sure how to deal with. A few weeks ago, a new girl started at my workplace. We hit it off right away, and she soon developed a crush on me. I had no problem with this, but let her know at the moment I was not really looking for anything relationship-wise, which she accepted and was fine with. We chatted frequently and saw each other at work, and slowly started to get to know each other better. Now this is where things get interesting. The other day she tells me she wants to have a private conversation with me, and that there's something she needs to get off her chest, a phrase I would later learn was quite ironic. She confesses to me that she is transgender, a girl who's going to start working towards completely becoming a guy, and she wanted to tell me now before she started going through the process to prevent misleading me in any way. Now, this is something I have zero issue with. I have transgender friends and have had other trans coworkers in the past and have vocalized my support for her, him. Now, here's my conundrum. While I'm not looking for a relationship at the moment, he's really cute and has a great personality. I could see myself falling for him. Gender's not an issue. I'm a bi guy. I never found gender and gender roles to be important at all. Much like Fuzz, I have this big thing for girly boys. My issue lies with two different aspects. First off, I'm very much attracted physically to him at the moment, and while physical appearance is hardly the largest factor when it comes to attraction or a relationship, it does have its place. It'd be unfortunate if we started a relationship and then due to hormone therapy, his appearance changed and I was less attracted to him. Second is the fact that I am a very sexual person by nature. I feel that sexual activities are a great form of bonding and that they really do bring people closer together. It is my understanding that while someone who undergoes a sex change operation does get a set of shiny new genitals, these new bits are not 100% fully functioning, especially in a sex regard. Please correct me if I'm wrong on this. This would severely limit the options for fun in the sexual activity department. Typing and reading this all makes me feel like I'm being a superficial jerk, but I've never been in this situation before, so I'm not quite sure what to do with myself. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
He'll still have a butt.
Yeah, well, there I am. Going back to my friends in the trans community, it happens. I mean, sometimes you're attracted to the gender of the original person, and when they finish transition, you're not as attracted to the end result. It happens. And sometimes you end up being good friends. It's something that your partner has to realize may happen. But it also happens in just regular couples. You're with someone, you grow older, attraction drifts apart. You know, it's not limited to just gender changing. It can happen in any relationship. And taste change. I mean, you know, it happens. As far as, it sounds like it's female to male. Just judging by pronoun usage, it's hard. The end surgery that takes the female to male equivalent isn't terribly. Usually, it's a hysterectomy. They remove the breasts, so you'll end up with a flat chested. They'll stop cycling, but there hasn't been a really great way to build a penis yet. The end result is usually not... The amount of money that it costs to do this is astronomical. I mean, it's bad going male to female. Going male to... female to male is almost... It's... The end results are usually not worth the cost. That, and it's very... few insurance programs will assist with it. They'll help with the hysterectomy. They may help with the removal of the breasts. But actually doing... A lot of them tend to be rather experimental. The end result is you usually end up with a person who you can tell it looks like a guy. He is a he. If But unfortunately, when the pants come off, sometimes what is, unfortunately, it's not as correctable as they could desire, is the genital area when you're talking, you know, going female to male. Now, there's various ways of addressing this. It could be doing things like a harness to many of the female to male trans I know will pack, as in to give the simulation of a bulge. Some are very uncomfortable with their anatomy. They don't want to be touched anywhere within their genital area, at least unless they're using the strap-on or the equivalent of the penis. They don't want any internal touching. But I've known others where they still get sexual pleasure out of it. And as long as their partner is willing to treat them as their proper gender in all the other aspects of the life, they still do some internal action with their original genitalia. So long as you consider them their proper sex, you use the proper pronouns, and you acknowledge that mentally they are male, they're okay with it. It really depends on the person in question. Some are comfortable, some are not. Some will go for the equivalent surgery. Some will just be happy being treated as the proper gender. It's a very, very wide kettle of fish that they could be getting into. And it's something that if you get into a relationship with this person, that they'll probably go through a lot of period of questioning of who am I, what am I, what am I comfortable with. And there's a whole bunch of currents within the trans community that steers a whole bunch of these decisions. So there's a lot of different political swings within the trans community on what is right and proper. Mm-hmm. You know, some are very, you know, I hate to use the term militant, but it's almost militant. And some are a little bit more relaxed about all it. But it's going to be a really torn up part of his life as he goes and becomes a man. So it's hard to say what the end product and what your relationship dynamic will be like, because he is going to be becoming almost a completely different person. I mean, mentally, the person inside is going to be maintained the same, but there's going to be a lot of identity changes, a lot of the way they think about themselves on their way to becoming this different external person. And it can be a really, really profound experience to be a partner to. And you've got to really be there for them. I'm not saying that this is a wrong thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's not something I would steer you away from. It's just something to be aware of if you guys start dating. It's not necessarily going to be bad. It's just going to be very difficult. And not difficult in a bad way. It's just going to be a lot of change for him, for you. So, and this is just after going through a number of trans friends and talking and being on the edge of the trans community. So
on my end, I've known, and I actually am friends with a couple of trans individuals who are, you know, fantastic, wonderful people. I will admit that I don't understand it. But that's not for me to understand, I guess. But I think what you need to do, OP, is you need to be their friend. Mm-hmm. Be his friend and support him. And, you know, as Shiva said, this is going to be a very transitional time. And, you know, I'm going to guess that for every person it's different. And I that no one thing we say is probably going to be exactly what you need. I think you're going to be their friend. Be there for him. Be there during all the crazy shit that no doubt will happen over the course of this, and, you know, support them. But I think when it comes down to, like, your fears of being superficial, I mean, it's fair. I mean, you don't know how everything will shake out. And, you know, I mean, so the best I would suggest is just be there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they said. And props to him for telling you about this now.
I got to give him really. Because
that's a big thing to, you know, like you said, get off her chest that she wants to become a he. And yeah, because, I mean, obviously there's some interest there on his end as well in possibly pursuing a relationship with you. And they're giving you an out, you know, and taking a real chance of, like, trusting you with this information as to whether you'll stick around or take a chance on them, or whether you'll leave. You know, I'd give it a shot, and be supportive if, you know, if that's what you want.
So then, of course, the last little bit, on topic, because, I mean, it's only been, you know, 15 minutes already. On topic, now for that crazy wheel of fetishes. I'm into a lot of different stuff. My main kinks revolve on me getting to be super subby. Enjoy light bondage, role play, age play, which includes some master pet play. Not serious full-time thing or anything, just occasionally for bedroom fun. Pegging, everyone loves a dommy girl, and water sports. So I've never actually tried that last one. The idea intrigues me. Seems like it would be a very intense form of domination. Other fetishes include fascination with sheaths and furry art. Girly boys and plushophilias. Yep, I'm a bit of a weirdo. Frowny face. I guess it's all for me.
Some of my best friends are weirdos.
We're all weird down here. I guess it's all for me. Thanks in advance. If you happen to read this on air, respond. Keep on being awesome. Alec the Fox. Well, thank you for writing in, and hopefully this gives you some insight. You know, Shiva seems to be the go-to gal for this kind of information. Sorry, couldn't be more help.
Is there something you want to tell us, Shiva?
That I haven't already told you?
You know a lot about this.
Yeah, there's a reason.
It's like, did you used to sound like the goddamn Batman?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's another thing. Once the hormones start, you'll have that change in voice. So.
Mm-hmm.
He may start sounding like the goddamn Batman, just... be aware.
Just be aware.
Yeah.
There's actually, if you go on YouTube, there's a whole bunch of female to male people who have documented their changes, and they have done like weekly videos where you can actually watch the progression of their physiognomy. Is that the right word?
Physiology.
Change as 1 month, 2 months, 3 weeks, and 6 months, and on down like a 2 or 3 year cycle. And you can watch them actually, you know, the different bone structure change. So you can get an idea of what you'll be seeing as they go through these transitions.
Yeah,
so,
Michael Jackson's was amazing.
Plus, if you just look up female to male on the net, there's a whole bunch of support websites. There's a whole bunch of things for partners of them. Plus, there's lots of talk about the changes, and there's some mental ones that go with the physical. There's a potential rage issues that may come up because male and female tend, with the testosterone, can handle anger very differently.
Mm.
So, and just read. That's the best thing I can say. Google is your friend, and it will educate you far more than I can ramble in 5 minutes.
I guess part of it is just the brain getting used to the totally different hormonal balance.
Yeah. It's basically a second puberty.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. That
well,
makes sense.
The voice drops, you get facial hair, the bone structure changes. And unlike some of... because when you're going male to female, there's two things that happen. You actually... You take estrogen, which is a booster, but you also take a secondary one, which is a suppressor for the testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a two-phase, you know, whereas... so it suppresses this testosterone, which will... that'll start rounding out the figure. You know, estrogen will boost up, and you know, as far as you'll grow breasts and face. But as far as I know, for the female to male, it's mostly a boost of testosterone, at which point the body starts changing and basically kicking on all the male hormones that are suppressed, and then you start getting the broader shoulders. You change bone structure and all the...
I didn't know it actually changed bone structure as well. I thought all the physical changes were mostly limited to
It also depends on how young they start.
Operation.
It really depends on how young the whole transition starts. I mean, it really depends. Yeah. But no, you will start getting a little. If you're starting like your early 20s before you finish completely growing, you'll actually get some of the bone structure changes.
That makes sense because your bones keep growing until you're like 24, 25. I think.
You're not fully cooked until you're 25.
Yeah. Or as we said on Twitter that one day, you're not a real person yet.
Oh, God. How badly did that end up?
You tell me.
Huh?
One of your mates was in that conversation, remember?
I think I vaguely
It's like, understand. Oh, I'm not a real person yet. I'm like, yeah, sorry. Oh, wait, or was that another friend? Oh, yeah, we have a couple of friends that are younger, so
I don't remember if he was involved. Anyway. I try to stay out of that on Twitter when it all starts up. It's like, whatever, they're being dumb. I'm staying out of it.
We're not being dumb. We're being old.
There is a difference.
I think it's your turn to read, Shiva.
Yes. Fine, I'll stop drawing.
Quit drawing them.
Get to read your first email of the night, like an hour and a half in.
Yeah, actually.
Let's see. Refresh.
Well, we're really full of words tonight. We have a lot to talk about. And emails like that are like, there's a lot to be said.
Yeah.
So, Shiva, read the next email so you can actually get somewhere tonight. Because we have a lot of emails in this inbox.
Would you like to pontificate a little longer?
We're going to have to do a part two. I'm sorry. This is going to be... Hello, folks of Nutcast. My name is Arturo the Coyote. Yes, cousin to Wiley.
Oh, my God.
What?
This is a long email.
I know.
You're in luck, Shiva.
I know. Long-time listener, been here... Starting at the Zapnuck arc to present. Speak of Zapnuck and to swing this email from introduction to on topic, I remember during the first Wheel of Fetishes a mention of pants bulges and bulges in general. I can relate to that. Nothing gets me going more than anticipation. Watching a fellow strip his pants with a hard on, positioned to the left, primed and ready for action, oh my God, it gets the blood pumping. Underwear also gets me going. Boxers, tidy whities, speedos, jock straps, and the more fantasy-based loincloths. I suppose I should say that one of my real-life fetishes is a mystery. A simple strip tease to even most complex dances to disrobe one's body makes the old snake in the pants go from dormant to rigid as a cobra with its hood on display. This is why I consider a vanilla fetish. Hold on to your ass cheeks and tails, folks, for Shiva. Just sit on your haunches, hon. We're about to go to the darker side of coyote mischief. The love of the leather community. Tight leather pants, suede jackets, boots, gloves, harnesses, shirts, vests, whatever. Leather gets the old sword out of the sheath quicker than that Kevin Smith to a fork when cake is presented to him.
Well, on a recent episode of Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, he had that cake in front of him for like 15 minutes.
And his skinny co-host was all up in that shit, and he wasn't.
Leather fetishes was something I remember stemming from childhood, along with bondage, but that's another paragraph. I remember that while growing up, I had a fascination with leather and loved the way it felt on my skin. Bondage was the same way. Mother loves to recount the day she'd come home and all my G.I. Joes would be tied with string, bound to a cabinet's handle. I still bind G.I. to cabinets to this day, although with a bit more life size as well as a bit more responsive than a bit of plastic. With the leather, I found the BDSM scene, particularly the puppy play scene. life-size G.I.s. Okay, that's kind of win. I've been in the bondage scene and leather scene for about 6 years at this time. I started early, around 16 years old, going to clubs and whatnot, dressed in leather, and always teasing the older gents. Not to mention making my own bondage equipment and using them for a bit of solo play. During that
time... Help, I did get to the part where I can untie these knots.
Mom! During that time of exploration of sexuality, I stumbled on the strange fetish of folks who wear collars, jocks, pouches, etc., mitts, and, of course, shaped leather hood or muzzles, the shape of dogs. It was curiously arousing to me at the time, and I began to explore the idea that I was a human puppy. It really got me going and pretty much was full speed ahead. The freedom of being a dog was liberated, especially through high school. Not having to worry about human life and instead being a dog who runs off of instincts was a pleasant escape from reality. That isn't to say I walked around high school on halls on all fours and barking at people. No, it was something personal that I only shared with closer friends. They often enjoyed to treat me like a dog, well away from public eyes. It wasn't really sexual with them. It was fun. And I like to think that they found release from reality as well. Though I find it pleasurable, it wasn't shared among my friends. One thing I enjoy about puppy play is the versatility of the roles. I consider myself alpha pup, will only accept commands from an actual master. Being alpha puppy leads to some more interesting play, such as rape or domination and humiliation, role reversal, power bottoming, bondage, etc. Perhaps the master isn't deemed assertive enough, and I decide to turn the tables on him or train him to be a better master. However, the more played out scenario I do in real life is puppy versus puppy play. I am currently in a relationship with another puppy, and we often have shifts of dominance between each other constantly. He's my beta, but if you ask them who the beta is, he's say the other way around. All good fun indeed. But to answer a question that may or may not be on your mind now, with two puppies, who is the master? Well, the answer is, I think that he meant menage a trois.
Yeah.
But he said manage trios. Okay. but this is real life fetishes. I have much more to list. However, it's easier just to sum up my kinks with BDSM. However, fantasy fetishes are much greater and require a bit more category than just a branch of sexuality. Shiva, I hope you're still seated, and those still aboard this yacht's prows, brace yourself as we descend into the more twisted track of the roller coaster. I am a xenophile, in case you haven't guessed that in puppy play. I don't really see xeno and puppy as being
you willing. Filthy xenos lover! Heresy! The emperor has no room in the empire of man for you!
Let's see. Xenophile doesn't always enclose those sexy alien creatures from the movie Alien. For me, it's basically an attraction to anything that isn't human in looks. Folks fully encased in latex, goo monsters, monster in general, I view as, that might be a fine creature. I wonder how they mate. Another branch from a xeno is
they spit semen all over your face.
I'm sure he's fine with that. Another branch from xeno is my enjoyment of demons. Demons to me are the embodiment of living free as an atheist and loose follower of levity. I have no idea what that is.
Levee. I think.
I have not.
I'm assuming. I don't know. It's not spelled that way, I don't think.
They are the sexiest things I can imagine at this point in time. I enjoy demon and angel play. This goes along with another fetish I have, which is corruption or simulation play. I love mecha furry art, especially when it involves biological creature being forced to transform into a robot.
Like the ending of Superman 3.
Nanobots machines, even surgery, in order to be a mechanized being is wonderful to look at. At this point, I think it would be safe to assume that this mastery of trickery and mischief is quite kinky. I like to tell people I have more kinks in me than an old garden hose. These last few are just going to be quick listed fetishes that I couldn't really write a full paragraph about because I like them, but I don't know why. The list is as follows, and it reads like an F list. Tentacles, breath play, edge danger play, plushy fursuit, vor, absolutely no scat, inanimate objects TF, statue and mobilization TF, interspecies transformation, mindless drones, hypnotism, vampires and werewolves, zombies, but last but not seriously, Ralph Garman's cosmic clown. God, the way he adds pudding pop at the end makes you go crazy.
Okay, so he is familiar with Hollywood Babylon after all.
But seriously, that last part is not serious. The zombie part, I mean. Thank you for reading the email, and I hope you have a wonderful week. I almost made it through. Ciao for now from the Hawaiian Jotun, Texas, Arturo the Coyote. So I didn't stumble too goddamn badly. I'm proud of myself. But that was a laundry list of fetishes, sir.
Yes, it was. None of them were too horrifying, like, you know, murder.
Thank you. How long are we up to, Saverin?
We are up to hour 43 already.
So one more email?
Each. Maybe.
Depends on how long we ramble.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to read a short one.
Okay.
Is it a trap or live free or fetish wheel? Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, the wheel spins yet again. Again. I'm not sure if it would be considered a fetish, per se, but I think androgyny is pretty hot.
Woo! I think we've covered that, so yes.
Yeah. I may be a straight guy, but the thought of a flat-chested girl with short hair and a massive penis... Oh, wait, no. No. With a short hair that looks masculine is pretty sexy. Hell, if I ever find a guy with silky long hair and lovely curves, and if he had the right personality, I wouldn't mind going out with him. As I think Saren once put it, heteroflexible is the appropriate term, I believe. I wish this was an interest that I could explain. Sadly, I failed to find the correct words. I can't really explain why I like masculine girls. I just do. Coming from a straight man, one would think that I wouldn't be drawn towards a woman who looks like a man, but I am. That's not to say a tomboy is the only kind of girl that gets my wheels turning, but a woman like that would cause more grease to get between the gears, if you know what I mean.
All too well.
Maybe it has something to do with slight levels of homo-heterosexuality in the psyche of individuals. I'm not sure. In any case, that's what I have to say on the matter. I hope this hasn't been too confusing for you guys. And if she was listening to this, I hope you're resting well and that you get back on your feet soon. Isaiah.
Already on all four and going.
And check out the video, which Saffron should totally have linked in the show notes.
I linked it in the show notes, dude.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The awesome androgynous car commercial that we have linked in the show notes. You'll enjoy it, I think.
So, okay. Yes.
All right. So
the theme of this episode is androgyny is hot, apparently.
Androgyny and gender fluidity.
Nice.
All right. Because that's just how we roll. You read that one, Fuzz?
Yes.
So now it's my turn. Dear Princess Notcastia.
Again, back to the ponies.
Dear fur fags at Fox Duffer Studios, just writing this email for some advice. I'll be anonymous today due to the sensitive nature of the contents of this email. A few months back, a friend of mine admitted that he was very lonely and was thinking of maybe reconsidering a relationship with me because of it. This really offended me at the time because he and I had been down that road before and ended up he liked girls more than guys, and after so much wrestling with my feelings, I let him go. The process of letting go was extremely difficult. He and I clicked on such a level it made us perfect. We liked the same things and complimented each other's skills. He couldn't cook, I could cook a few things, you can spare ingredients, stuff like that. You get the idea. I still carry a torch for him to this day, but have sworn never to go into a relationship with him again. See, he and I were almost partners at one stage, and he decided chicks were more his style. This cut me very deeply, and from my point of view, we were going great until he cut it. When he mentions he was entertaining the idle thought of the idea, the IDE, that's an outdated type of hard drive. Is it? Not yet. SSDs are soon.
Well, he doesn't have the correct connections.
Obviously.
Their ports are incompatible.
Yes. He needs to be solid state. Of getting together with me again, I told him I probably wouldn't work, but inside I was in pain. I didn't let on, of course. I'm not the type of guy to make people feel bad, even if I think they have wronged me, apart from bullies. But that's an entirely different matter altogether, and would be best in another email. Writing this email tipsy, well, very tipsy, so sorry for any grammatical errors and the like, but my thoughts flip okay, freely.
Okay, he spelled it grammatical.
And just the L-I-E-K.
Awesome.
In the leak. In the lake. My thoughts flow most freely when alcohol is involved because I'm usually such a reserved person, holding in my thoughts for benefits of others. At any rate, a new person, gay, who has shown up that he's finding me attractive. I feel a connection to this person, one that could potentially turn into a boyfriend-type relationship. For the record, I'm not a bad-looking guy. I'm decent, well-presented, friendly, and have varied interests. So I'm a pretty good catch, you could say. I should be noted that I'm horrible at flirting. For example, if someone compliments me, I have trouble accepting it to begin with. Again, bullying throughout my younger years decimated my self-esteem. Not to mention, I have one of those pesky mental psychological disorders that make human behavior mysteries to me. Not entirely, but flirting always escapes me. Anyways, again, that's not the issue. What, if anything, should I say to the friend I almost had a thing with?
Hey, Saverin, that sound is your foot rubbing the base of your microphone stand.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that one.
Yes.
Oops. Let's see, where was I? How I felt when he said he felt lonely enough to get back with me, because that cuts very deep with me. Made me feel like I was supposed to be on hold for him when he failed a relationship, then be perfectly okay when he found someone else. Should I not say anything? On topic of the new guy, I'm going to try and see what this goes, letting him decide the pace, but hopefully results in a relationship. He's local, like a suburb over, and definitely gay, or at least happy to be with a guy. Once again, love the show, and you guys do a great job.
Sounds like you should date the new guy and not go into the thing with the old guy.
I would say with the old guy, just be like, dude, I'm not your backup.
Yeah, because, I mean, even just saying I'm considering a relationship with you again because...
You're like, oh, well, that's news to me.
It's like, yeah, fuck you. You know, it's like, he's... That just seems like he's being totally disrespectful of you, so... So, fuck him. Check out the new guy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't... Or even just say, that's nice, we had something, I don't feel that way about you any longer. I mean, it's... I would definitely... If you're going to do anything with the old guy, take it slow. And make sure he's got all his ducks in a row before you go anywhere deeper than, you know, friends. Because that kind of hurts.
Mm.
Sorry, dude. I like chicks is... It's hurtful.
Yeah, it's kind of a bullshit thing. Just, I mean, it's one thing to like to have that realization. That's actually understandable. It depends on how he broke up with you, but the way he's treating you now does sound like extra shitty. You know, like I'm only coming back to you because I couldn't hook up with a chick, basically. And that's just like, no, you're not the backup fuck buddy. Sorry, go and. Try to hit it off with the new guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chibi, you got the... Wait, did you... No, you read... Wait, who read that one?
Wasn't I read that one, so it's Shiva's turn.
It is Shiva's turn. Okay. Oh, we just went through those last couple faster, that's why. Okay.
Let me refresh.
I remembered you reading the other one a few minutes ago. Bad.
Yeah.
Braid! Yeah.
Let's see. There was Ars Talkman. I'm just looking for a semi-short one. Here's a laundry list.
Yeah, there's one just called My Fetishes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Okay.
My Fetishes, Dear Donut, Fuzz, Cupcake, Saverin, Chocolate Cake, Shiva, and Beer, the Silent One. No, he's not beer. He is really, really not beer. Maybe Sprite, not beer. Yes, I called you all foods. I did it to unfurled, and now you happily belated Vore Thursdays.
Yay, wait.
It's not Vore Thursday. It doesn't even... It's Thursday. Thursday is Thursday. Get it right.
It was used to be Vore Thursday.
Yeah, but I'm taking it back.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was Thursday long before I heard Vore Thursday.
Yeah, Vore Thursday just kind of randomly popped up on Twitter.
Yeah, but it's been Thursday for, like, years.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now it's my lovely list of fetishes, but first a comment. My list of kinks keeps growing and changing at, I think he means rapid rate, not raped rate. Is this normal?
Wow.
Now the list. Transformation. I've had this kink a long time. Plush TF, sex toy TF, fursuit TF, food TF. I sense you might like TF.
TF, know? Possibly. But does he like TF2?
TF.
TF squared. They're transforming into Transformers. Robots in disguise.
Yes. No refrigerant, you're passengers.
Yes, that's a lot of similar things. I love things changing into another thing. A thing into a thing into a thing.
And you put shit changing into shit.
And then
oh
you put
God.
A thing in your thing, and you come. Now on to more normal things, I think. Bear man. I think he means bear men. I don't know. Bondage and new puppy play.
As opposed to old puppy play.
I guess, you know,
this puppy's old. It's not moving anymore.
They lose their shine after a couple of weeks. You have to go out and get a new puppy.
Pound puppy play. You're going to paint me like a cartoon character.
And be voiced by George Takei. So, oh my.
So here's my list. It's shorter than some and longer than others. From Game Tier the Bear, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Bears.
Yes.
Bears.
It's a thing.
Bears.
at it.
So, TF, yay, it's like a thing.
Woo!
Bears with the herd, oh my god.
The where herd? The hell did that come from?
Oh my god.
Yeah, where did the oh my god thing come from?
I've been told that it is, it's like a picture of a dog on the internet. And
no, it's a girl, actually.
No, I heard it was a dog with a funny expression, was the original. Know your meme time. But there's actually there's an Ermagerd translator that you can type anything into.
Oh, God. I swear, Sarah loves the Ermagerd so much. I was standing right behind him, and he decided to go to Facebook to show me something. I think it was the Panda's new cinematic release, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, he gets stuck in Ermagerd. So he types in Facebook only in Ermagerd. So it's like, Facebook. It's like, what the hell did you just do? And he's like, delete, 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 types it out properly. You have to actually spell it right to go to that page. You know that.
Ermagerd.
Yeah, you need books. To put a link to the Ermagerd translator in the show notes, Saverin. I love that start typing is translated as start turpin.
Have you seen the new cinematic for Pandas, Saverin?
Yes.
Oh, fat.
I actually...
Notcast turns out nerd cursed.
I actually bought the CE box off Amazon. They still have them listed for $80.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the promotional thing?
What?
A beta code. Like, I've been, like, totally not playing the beta at all.
I don't want... I looked at it sideways and said, nope, don't want to ruin it. I'm going to pay for it anyways. I'll just get it then.
Saverin, bother or partner.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad. It's like, there's all these other games coming out, and I still buy the WoW box set. I'm like an abused wife.
You keep coming back
for more pandas.
So, Saverin, here's the URL on my iPad. Put this in the show notes.
Where it's I get to...
it's the Ermagerd translator.
Jay Miller design. Okay.
It's minutes of fun. The one that I came up with, it was like the ultimate Ermagerd, was to put the rural juror. Because it's a joke from 30 Rock, or the actress is in a movie that none of them can understand what it is. Because it's the rural juror. So it's all ready. And if you type in, oh my god, it just, or even OMG, it goes, Ermagerd.
There, it's in the show notes.
Yay! It's dirt turpin. Have fun.
Minutes of fun!
I just put in the URL, and it's, Hester Permagerd Jamaler Desire Termadurga Herbiter Pudding Pops.
It stuck pudding pops on the end.
Zap, zap, zoobity bop.
That was just him doing the Bill Cosby.
When Gotham City has zip, zap, zoobity bopped, only then will I give you permission to doobity doobity pudding pop.
The fire rises.
But the picture, I think I showed it to you. It's the Bane, with Bill Cosby with the Bane mask.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I thought that sounded familiar. I may have seen that.
I think I might have tweeted it, just like falls over laughing kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I post a lot of images.
Mm-hmm. My little shirty.
Oh, God. So it has been an hour almost at this point. Another 2 hours at this point. God, yeah. We are not concise at all.
No, we're not.
We like to talk, but we do appreciate emails that make us talk.
A podcast is a purred cursed.
We're going to so have a part two of this.
Yeah, because holy crap.
We talk.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully next week we'll see you at Maffert Firma.
Yep, so are we going to try to record on like Thursday for that one?
Yes.
I don't know. Are we?
Yeah, let's do that.
No. Well, okay, we'll have to figure that out. Because
well,
at some
probably
point,
Wednesday. I'm driving there Thursday.
Okay, yeah, so we're going to need also. To figure out. Wednesday would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I want to do round two of.
Currently, like, tabletop gaming with Tyrion's on hold. Actually, we're shifting it to the weekend.
Okay.
So, Yeah, we're going to record early this next weekend so we don't miss a show like we did last week. We're really busy people and occasionally just miss a week like last week.
We just have a lot of out of town
stuff. Yeah, lots of stuff coming up. But we're still going to do episode 200 at OklaCon no matter which number we're actually on.
Yeah. Time travel, bitches.
Time travel. We are from the future where podcasts are treated like gods and we're like...
Maybe the like 2 or 3 weeks in the future.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And things.
Is awesome.
So, I have to have the last word here.
You always do.
Gerdner and Berg Burls.
Video games!
That's how video games should be played.